Hello, and welcome to episode 6 of the Higher Frequency Podcast. I'm your host, Big John, and I thank you for joining me for this latest installment. Before I get started, I'd like to give all honor, praise, and glory to the Most High, and I thank Him for giving me this opportunity to share my thoughts on this episode with you. And also, if you'd like to offer feedback or correspondence, you can reach me on the podcast email page, which is higherfrequencypc@gmail.com. Again, that is higherfrequencypc@gmail.com. Well, on today's episode, I'd like to use this opportunity to be able to offer some words of encouragement to someone out there who may feel stuck at a point in their life, maybe at a crossroads, maybe not sure which direction their life was going. And for those of you who heard episode 1, I go into detail about such things as they happened in my own life. And this episode is sort of a follow-up. Specifically because today marks 20 years since I moved to Oregon from Miami, Florida. And for myself, that's a huge milestone because prior to making that move, I never in my wildest dreams thought I would ever be living in Oregon. And I mean that in the most respectful way. But sometimes you never know where life's going to take you. You know, one of my favorite movies is Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And then at the end of the movie, Matthew Broderick, the actor who portrayed Ferris, he says at the end of the movie, he says, "Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around every now and then for a while, you might miss it." And for whatever reason, that line always stuck with me. And now that I've kind of hit this milestone, that I look at it as an opportunity to stop and take a look around, and not so much to pat myself on the back because I'm not that kind of individual, but just to take a moment to look back and appreciate the journey. In the first episode of this podcast, in episode 1, I basically gave my testimony and went in depth in terms of how I wound up in Oregon. And at the time, I was 29 years old when I got on that Greyhound bus and made that decision to head west. And at 29, 30 years old, it's something I refer to all the time as that crossroads in life where you have to decide, or at least in my case, I had to make a decision what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. So for those who find themselves at a crossroad in their life, regardless of the age, sometimes you have to take a step back and look at what and who you have surrounding you in your life. You have to take stock and get a clear understanding of what's working for you and what you may need to change. In my case, the only logical conclusion was that I needed to change my environment, as I mentioned in episode one. And I can remember, as if it was yesterday, the morning I got on that Greyhound bus. And I think that's when I started to fully understand the magnitude of the move I was making. I was starting to understand that I needed to sacrifice something, as we all do sometimes in life. I had to sacrifice what was comfortable and familiar to me. And what was comfortable and familiar to me at that time was being back in my hometown of Miami, leaving everything and everyone I had known. And I made that decision to step into the unknown. To be willing to take a risk. To bet on myself. To bet that I could somehow, some way, go to a different world, it seemed like, that I wasn't familiar with, in order to rebuild and create a better version of myself. This world we live in, this life that we live, I see it as one big reformatory, one huge classroom. In this life we live, there's always something to learn. That's why I'm a big believer in learning something new every day. And when I got on that Greyhound bus, I knew for myself life would never be the same. I didn't know what I would find when I got here. But I figured that the way circumstances were going before I left on that bus trip, things couldn't have gotten much worse. So I went and made that journey hopeful that things would get better. I didn't know. But in life is kind of like being a baseball pitcher. Sometimes in order to get your strikes, you gotta risk your balls. And I was willing to do that. And I took that chance, but I didn't do it alone. And there's a lot of people who helped me after I got here. And I'll acknowledge those people toward the end of the episode. Nonetheless, when I got off that bus in Eugene, and I'm looking around, and it's a lot colder than what I was used to. It's a lot, the environment was a lot more damp than what I was used to, because it rains quite a bit out here in Oregon. But as I mentioned in the first episode, it just seemed like the right place at the right time for me to start over. A place where no one really knew me, well, except a couple of people. But it was otherwise a clean slate. And although there were mistakes in the past, it was a situation in which I could start from scratch. I felt like it was a new lease on life, a second chance. And one of the things that I was determined to do was, as they say, get my stuff together. That was the whole point of why I came out here. That was a one-way bus ticket. There was no return trip. At the time, I was 29 years old. Still trying to figure out life. Still trying to find myself. Not totally sure of what I wanted, but I had a better sense of what it would take to fulfill those goals. And that was to be disciplined in my own mind. To stay hungry, to do better. I didn't travel all that way to fail. And it wasn't easy. It took some months to land a job, but I found one in retail. And I worked at a department store, working at Home Electronics. So I got to open up the boxes with all the new TVs and all the other electronics and video games and all the other good stuff. It was fun working in that department. It wasn't always, you know, rainbows and lollipops. I remember that the old PlayStation 2s had just been released, and this guy comes in and he was looking for a PlayStation for his kid. And I went out of my way to help the guy out. You know, we didn't have any more in stock at the store. And so I called around to the other stores in town to see if they had one available. And I came across one store that did, and I asked them to hold on to it for him. And let the guy know that, yes, this other store has it, and, you know, it's on hold for you. All you gotta do is go pick it up. And the thanks I got was, well, if it's not there when I get there, I'm coming back to see you. That's gratitude for you. But it was okay. But that situation, along with a couple others, let me know that retail was not in the cards for me long term. It's not what I wanted. I didn't want to deal with all of that. I didn't want to deal with attitudes. I didn't want to deal with drama. And so when the opportunity came up to find something else, I did. And I got a job as a driver. I drove airport shuttle. Nope, prior to that, I drove railroad shuttle. And the good part about it was, is that I was on the road. These railroad crews were never in a hurry. Got paid pretty decent. It was on call. That was the only drawback, but I stuck it out. You know, I worked 3.5 years. I was even promoted to manager. So for the first time in my life, I was a manager. And it was far from the most glorious job in the world, but, you know, considering where I started, when I landed in Eugene with 2 duffel bags and $5 in my pocket, it's a vast improvement. I was just happy to be working, so I wasn't going to complain. And on top of that, I was gaining managerial experience. After my time at the railroad job, I moved on and became an airport shuttle driver. And one of the biggest reasons I left the railroad job was because of the fact that, as I mentioned, it was on call, so it was beginning to affect my health. And so it was a situation where it was in my best interest to move on. The airport job, I enjoyed because I love to drive. And I got to learn how to get around town, you know, to specific parts of town and learn, you know, how to get around to Eugene a lot better because of that job. The railroad job, when I was working there, I went out of town to haul these railroad crews. So, you know, a lot of stuff was out in the woods and going up mountains and all this kind of stuff. So, but I learned my way around Eugene through the airport shuttle job, and just so happens that while I was at the airport one day, I ran into a guy who I'm still tight with. We just kind of haven't hung out as much lately. Just life happens. But we had a conversation, and actually a series of conversations, and next thing I know, I'm trying my hand at driving taxi. And the one thing I enjoy and still do about driving taxi is the freedom. I like to call it my office on wheels. I'm not the kind of person who's into the corporate thing, although I've had some good jobs, very good jobs in the past. I like being able to be on the road. I like being able to meet different people from all walks of life. You know, it's not always the same day after day. You know, every day is different. As a matter of fact, in the taxi, when it comes to taxi driving, I always say no two nights are the same, but it's always an adventure. And it's true. And anyone who's ever driven taxi understands what I'm talking about. They understand that it's you never know what's going to come through that door. And there's always a potential for a new taxi story, which I've shared a couple, and there's more forthcoming, I promise you. And this year marks my 15th year driving taxi. And I still enjoy it. And there are so many memories and so many stories that go along with this job. And you know, it's every now and then you get someone who says, oh, it must be cool driving taxi, it must be a lot of fun. And yeah, it can be. But you also have to understand that there's a few things that go along with driving a taxi. It's not just simply getting into a car and driving around and getting a couple of bucks and that's it. I mean, it can actually be work, you know, lifting luggage and, you know, sometimes dealing with people who can be difficult from time to time. Most of the time, you know, the people are usually pretty good, but every now and then you'll have to kind of navigate your way through dealing with some people from time to time, and that's part of the job, and I'm okay with that. What I do tell people is, if you don't enjoy driving, because in most cases it's a 12-hour shift, if you don't enjoy driving, it's not the job for you. If you don't have thick skin, if you get offended easy, it's not the job for you. If you can't deal with people from all walks of life, it's not the job for you. And if you can't take care of yourself when the time comes, because sooner or later it very well may happen, where you may have to be able to take care of yourself, defend yourself, if need be. If you can't do that, that's not the job for you. Taxi driving is not just a job, but it's also a lifestyle. And taxi drivers are the eyes and ears of any town that they operate in. Taxi drivers wear a lot of hats. A lot of times, we are part-time psychiatrists, part-time marriage counselor. Sometimes you hear sometimes too much information. Sometimes you run across people that don't get out much and just need someone to confide in. And I've taken pride in the fact that over the last 15 years, I make it a point that my personal choice not to divulge information that people tell me in confidence. You get to know people. You get to learn about people. You get to sometimes have conversations where you may agree on some things, you may not. Sometimes you get people who don't speak at all. And that's okay too. But it's just work, and I leave it at work. Why is the taxi thing so important? I see it as being important because I've learned in this time I've been here in Oregon. I've learned a lot about myself. I've found myself. I've learned a lot about people. I've learned how to better read people. I've learned how to take past experiences in my own life and use them to help other people when the time is right. I enjoy hearing different points of view sometimes on different things with people. These are some of the intangibles that go along with that job that you can't get in most other jobs. Taxi driver wasn't what I actually set out to do, but I'm proud that I do it because it's honest work. And it's because of that job that helped inspire me to be able to be here and provide this podcast for you. Sometimes you can help people in ways you can't even imagine until the opportunity or the situation presents itself to you. I remember one night I picked up this kid in Eugene, and he was so down in the dumps. The kid was heartbroken because him and his girlfriend just broke up, and he found out that she was cheating on him. And this kid told me that he was ready to end his own life. And I used my own experiences of being down in the dumps or being heartbroken because of a girl. And it was an opportunity for me to use those experiences to help this kid. And so at that particular moment, I knew that trying to pour some positivity and some encouragement into that kid was more important than being out on the road making money. And I made the conscious decision to turn off my tablet. And I sat with that kid for an hour and a half and poured into that kid and talked to him and encouraged him and used my own story as an example to him as to why he should keep fighting to live. Tried to make him understand why life was still worth living. Tried to get him to understand that his life is not over, just that chapter. Like they say, sometimes in life one door closes so another can open. I like to believe sometimes that God takes something away from you to give you something better. And that's what I told that kid. And again, not to pat myself on the back, but I sat with that kid for an hour and a half. And spoke to him from the heart to give him hope, to give him a measure of encouragement. And by the time that kid left out of my cab, I had him laughing. I had him feeling better about himself. And I wasn't looking to gain anything out of it. But the feeling after I drove away, and that I can still remember to this day, is way more valuable than any amount of money I could have made that night, because I may have saved that kid's life. I used my past hurts to give that kid hope. And you can't put a price on that. So, I remember several years ago, my wife told me, suggested to me to use, I could use my taxi cab to minister to other people. And I never forgot that. And I don't get in my cab with a red cape or whatever and a mask and, you know, theme music trying to go out and save people. That's not what I do. But when the opportunity brings itself, presents itself, at least in my own mind, I like to think that the Most High has given me an opportunity to help someone else and at the same time heal myself at the same time. And I wouldn't have it any other way. So, to anyone out there, who's struggling, whether it be addiction or depression, or doubt, or a lack of confidence, or a lack of self-esteem, I've been in your shoes. And my advice is take a step back. Take a deep breath. And take stock in what's around you. Take a good look at your life. If you have things or people in your life that are not helping you, that are not helping to build you up, that are only dragging you down, if you have people in your life who are looking down at you and not trying to help you up, if you have demons in your life that you have a hard time overcoming and you know it, if you feel that life is so bad that you're ready to quit. And if you haven't heard episode one of this podcast, I would first encourage you to go back and play that. Because I share my story. I give my testimony freely. Aside from that, I would suggest considering changing the environment you're in. And it's not for everyone, and it's not easy to do. But sometimes in life, you have to just go. You have to be willing to sacrifice something to get something better. You have to be willing to be honest with yourself about where you are. You have to be willing to be honest with yourself if you know deep down that you need to find yourself. Any one of us can just say the right things or go along to get along, and I've done it, so I'm speaking from experience. But you must be honest with yourself. You must be willing to sacrifice something. And if need be, sometimes you must be willing to clap for yourself. Because sometimes in life, you may come across people who are glad to see you down. Don't give them the satisfaction of letting them see you stay there. Don't just roll over and take it. This is your life. Stand up and fight for it. Be willing to bet on yourself. Be willing to stand for something, even if you must stand alone. I am living proof that it can be done if you want it bad enough. But don't you ever quit. Don't you give up. And that's all I've got to say about that. So, before I go, as I mentioned earlier in this episode, I wanted to give acknowledgement to some people who helped me along the way to where I am right now from the time I've come to Oregon, because I didn't make it this far on my own, and I want to acknowledge those people and say thank you to them. Starting off with the Hardeman / Davenport / Meyer families. They were among the first people I met when I came to Oregon. And I learned a great deal from them, and I'm still to this day on good terms with many of them. And they taught me the ropes when I first got here, and I'll always be thankful for that. So I wanted to thank them. Also, the Ray family. These people helped me move 3 different times, amongst other things. And I'm very close to that family. And I've known them a very long time. And they know if it's within my power, all I got to do is say when and where. No questions asked. We've always done that for each other. And the McLean family, they took the time to learn about who I am and what I'm about, and for that, I'm appreciative. Very much appreciative. The Hopper family. I've known them for several years now and very close to them, and if you guys need something, I'm there also. And the Perry family. They've also taken me in as family, and I'm grateful for them also. And also my fellow taxi brothers and sisters that are out there on the road. I know how difficult that job is. I know what you got to put up with. And I'm one of you, and the ones that helped me when I first got into business, you guys know who you are, and I thank you as well. All right, that's enough sappy, you know, mush. And anyway, I'm going to go ahead and conclude this episode and just encourage all of you guys out there to be good to each other. Try to learn something new every day. And let's look at each day as a new opportunity to come together and love each other. And with that, this is Big John signing off. And I'll see you next time on the Higher Frequency Podcast.